The Iran crisis is consuming enormous diplomatic oxygen, but Ukraine deserves serious attention this morning on three separate fronts. Overnight, Ukrainian drones struck a Russian explosives manufacturing plant in what appears to be a continuation of Kyiv's deliberate targeting strategy against Russia's defense industrial base. This isn't random harassment. Ukraine has been systematically attacking ammunition factories, fuel depots, and weapons production facilities deep inside Russian territory. Each successful strike on an explosives plant degrades the artillery shell output that Russia depends on for its grinding ground war in the east.
The drone campaign represents one of the more strategically sophisticated aspects of Ukraine's war effort. They've essentially been running a counter-logistics operation. If you can't match Russia gun for gun on the front line, you try to shrink the pipeline feeding those guns. The challenge is that Russia has dispersed and hardened many of its defense industrial facilities since 2022, so each strike requires more precise intelligence and longer-range systems.
The bigger geopolitical warning came from Ukraine's spy chief, Budanov, who is corroborating U.S. intelligence assessments that Russia is preparing for a potential limited attack on a NATO member, with some timelines suggesting this fall as a possible window. I want to be precise about what limited attack means in this context. It doesn't necessarily mean a full-scale invasion of a Baltic state. It could mean a provocative incursion into Estonian or Latvian territory, a hybrid attack with plausible deniability, or aggressive action in the Suwalki Gap, the narrow land corridor connecting Poland to Lithuania. The intent would be to test NATO's Article 5 commitment without triggering a full alliance response.
And Putin's calculation, if this assessment is accurate, would be that the current political environment in Washington, with administration attention divided between Iran and a dozen domestic crises, creates a window of uncertainty about U.S. commitment to collective defense. Whether that's a correct read of American political will is a separate question, but it's the kind of inference that shapes Kremlin decision-making.
Then there's the internal Ukrainian political story that's easy to miss amid the battlefield reports. Former Defense Minister Ryznikov, who was ousted earlier this year, has publicly called for wartime elections, directly challenging President Zelensky's position that elections are legally and practically impossible during the active war. This is not a fringe voice. Ryznikov was one of the architects of Ukraine's Western military partnership. His call for elections is essentially arguing that Zelensky's democratic mandate is now thin enough that the legitimacy cost of continuing without a vote exceeds the operational cost of holding one.
Zelensky's counterargument has been that wartime elections would be dangerous, resource-intensive, and potentially manipulable by Russian interference. Both arguments have real merit, which is why this is a genuine political fault line rather than a simple opportunistic attack. What it signals more broadly is that the Ukrainian political consensus that held in 2022 and 2023 has become more fractured as the war enters its fifth year.